You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we are back with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. And we return here. It is a Thursday edition episode here on the show on Thursday, July 8th. That means just 20 days until the Ravens' first full team training camp practice. And that'll really be when things start picking up. I know we've been kind of in that down time period over the course of the past, you know, even month or so. Really, since the draft ended, there hasn't been a ton of movement. The Ravens did sign a couple of guys, but, you know, there hasn't really been that football yet. And I know the excitement is kind of brewing, and everybody's getting a little bit anxious, and people are starting to just grab at any single thing and do whatever with it. So, look, I'm excited for the training camp to begin for the Ravens and for the preseason, obviously, the regular season to begin. This team feels special, the Ravens do, and we're going to be talking about it, not just today, but of course throughout the entire regular season, preseason, training camp, postseason, whatever you want. We are here 5 days a week. But here today, we are going to be talking about a player who, on another team who is very apparently disgruntled and has caused a bit of shockwaves. You know, he's a player that the Ravens could potentially look at, but will they? Will they not? That's what we're going to discuss here today, and that is N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver from the New England Patriots. So here in this first segment, I want to talk about if the Ravens should pursue N'Keal Harry or not, and why, or why not. And then in the second and third segments, we'll take a look at a game here. We'll play a little game, and that is we'll do offense and defense, offense in the second segment, defense in the third segment, but will the Ravens do X more or less? It's not a great title, but it describes what the game is. I'm going to be taking a look at a couple of storylines, both from offense and defense, and kind of analyze if the Ravens are going to do said storyline more or kind of go away from it and do it less than they did during the 2020 season, and why those things might happen, what personnel changes might dictate that, what coaching changes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So again, we'll talk about N'Keal Harry here in this first segment, and then in the second segment, we'll take a look at some storylines on offense and figure out if the Ravens will do more or less of it, and then the same thing but with defense in the final segment. So let's dive right into it here. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and where there's a podcast, we're there waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. And also be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, let's just jump right in here, and we'll start off with N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver from the New England Patriots, and pulling up his stats here. He's going to have, I think, a few suitors, but this is not a guy who has lit the world on fire over his first two seasons. His stats are 45 receptions for 414 yards and just 4 touchdowns during his 2-year career. He was the last pick in the first round of the 2019 draft, the second receiver taken off the board, and you want to know who the first was? It was Marquise Brown, the Baltimore Ravens wide receiver. And for the record, I want to put my top four wide receivers from this class out there. For me, number one was A.J. Brown, number two was DK Metcalf, number three was N'Keal Harry, and number four was Marquise Brown. And obviously, look, each guy has gone on their projected path, and they've gone away from that projected path, or they've stayed on it. And guys like A.J. Brown and N'Keal Harry, you know, very similarly projected players in terms of what they could do at the NFL level, but obviously we've seen the ascension of A.J. Brown and N'Keal Harry not really do a ton in New England. Marquise Brown has had his fair share of success with the Ravens, and DK Metcalf has turned into one of the best receivers in the NFL. So it seems like out of the top four I had, N'Keal Harry has been the biggest bust here. And for N'Keal Harry, he's a big-bodied receiver. He's 6'4", 225 pounds, still just 23 years old, but it just seems like the Patriots and the wide receiver have not gotten on the same page in terms of targets, in terms of production, and even in terms of opportunity. So on behalf of Harry, Harry's agent ended up requesting a formal trade. So that is where they are, and if the Ravens should pursue him or not, that is a question that is obviously up to them. Nothing anybody will say will change that. It's only up to the personnel decision makers in that locker room. But in my opinion, should the Ravens go after N'Keal Harry, I think in short, the answer is no. And, you know, I think it really speaks volumes to what the Ravens have done this offseason to go out and address their wide receiver room. Because if N'Keal Harry became available and the Ravens hadn't drafted Rashad Bateman and they hadn't drafted Tylan Wallace, they hadn't added a guy like a veteran in Sammy Watkins, I think that Ravens fans and a lot more people within the Baltimore community, you know, the Ravens community would have been all over this and have been like, look, he hasn't proven himself yet, but, you know, can he turn it around here, this, that? You know, the Ravens don't have the depth, but the difference is the Ravens do have the depth. They are 7 deep, arguably, at wide receiver right now, with a couple more guys who aren't getting a ton of recognition, such as Jalen Moore, for example. And I just don't see the opportunity for Harry to come in here and be happy with the targets he's getting, especially on an offense that does run the football so much. And we'll talk about, you know, running, throwing in the second segment with, you know, are they going to do it more or less? But even so, I don't think that Harry is going to be a guy who can come into the Ravens organization the way he's performed, and with him not knowing the playbook, with him not being around the organization. That's a tough thing for any player. You know, I'm not just putting this all on Harry and saying, oh, he can't do it because it's him. No, Harry's a very talented player, but I think he needs the right opportunity for himself. And right now, I don't think that's Baltimore. Now, when looking at the type of receiver Baltimore would need at this moment, Harry does fit the profile. I mentioned it. He's 6'4". He's a jump ball receiver, contested catch situation guy. He did pretty well at Arizona State. He had a miraculous one-handed catch where pretty much he's like laying in the air, like laying flat in the air as he catches the football. So he was a dynamic threat, and that he was a first-round pick for a reason. The Patriots obviously saw something in him, but injuries derailed his rookie year, and just he wasn't able to get on track during his second season. It's just been a lot of things, one after the other. He hasn't been able to develop in areas where the Patriots, I think, thought he was going to. And I think now the Ravens actually do have the coaches in place to develop a guy like Harry. You know, T. Martin, Keith Williams. Those are the types of guys you want around young players to be able to teach fundamentals, relate to those players, and have a good relationship with the players as well. I mean, Marlon Humphrey saying, yeah, I sense an energy shift already with the wide receivers. That's the type of thing N'Keal Harry needs. Not saying the Patriots are toxic or whatever. I don't think they are. But a good environment would definitely help N'Keal Harry, but where is the playing time? That's the thing I keep coming back to, because I just truly don't see it right now. Because what the Ravens are probably going to have is, obviously, I'm going to call them the big three. The top three receivers are Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, Sammy Watkins, right? That's not changing, at least for now, unless, you know, some other stud wide receiver comes in. Harry's not going to top any of those three. Devin Duvernay is probably going to get more snaps than Harry. I think Duvernay is going to be utilized in the slot a lot more, and we'll talk about this in the second segment too, but he will be utilized more in the slot in 2021, but also just get more playing time because he did show flashes. And if Miles Boykin makes the team, he's going to be on the field, I think, in some run situations because he is the best blocker this team has from the position. And if James Prochet is on the team and he ends up making it, then you have another guy who's a dangerous slot weapon. Now, obviously, Harry doesn't play in the slot. He is primarily an outside receiver, so his chances to make the team if he was traded for would be better if Prochet made the team instead of Boykin. But what do you even give up for a guy like Harry if you already have the depth? Is it Boykin in a seventh, Boykin in a sixth? Do you not even give up Boykin and just say, hey, we'll give you a conditional sixth or a conditional fifth? I don't think giving up draft capital is worth it for a guy who probably isn't going to play unless he really shows during training camp in the preseason that he can perform well. And I'm not saying he couldn't do that, but it just doesn't seem like he is going to be, or he would be at least, a big part of the Ravens' plans. If they acquired him, it would be more of a flyer thing where it's like, all right, we have 2 years to work with him plus the fifth-year option, depending on how much that is and how he performs. What can we do with him? But in that case, you know, why wouldn't they just develop Boykin instead, or try to develop Tylan Wallace, or, you know, this, that, and the other? Whenever a guy is brought in at any position in the NFL, at any position, it takes away snaps from another guy, from another young, promising guy, from another veteran, whatever it is. And the Ravens bringing in Harry would, I think, stunt the development of a couple guys who I think the Ravens want to see what they have in them. You know, they don't want to give up on these guys. They want to see. And Harry coming in would certainly be an intriguing option, but I think the Ravens want to roll with what they have. It's been a constant theme this offseason for this team. So, look, Harry, if he's acquired, I wouldn't be opposed to the deal. But I just don't think it makes sense for them right now because they just don't need him. They honestly just don't need him at this time. If injuries happened and in the early portion of training camp and Harry still isn't traded and there's some serious stuff going on there, then maybe I could see it. But for right now, the Ravens have a lot of quality depth, and Harry would add to it, but I just don't think with what he's looking for and what the Ravens are looking for at developing their own guys right now, it would make sense for both sides. So I'm saying right now, it's a no on the trade front for N'Keal Harry, but things can change and maybe it works out. But right now, the answer is no for N'Keal Harry in Baltimore, in my opinion. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we return, we're going to be taking a look at whether the Ravens will do things more or less on the offensive side of the ball in 2021 than they did in 2020. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can check all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as team threat for the runs of the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And we return here with our second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you. And we're now going to dive into what the Ravens will do more in 2021 as opposed to 2020 on offense, and what the Ravens will do less in 2021 as opposed to 2020 on offense. And I think the big thing to talk about here, because there really is only one huge storyline in this. There are a couple big ones, but the one massive one, the most important one, will the Ravens throw the football more in 2021? And when looking at the stats from 2020, the Ravens as a team threw the football 406 times, and that is compared to 555 rushing attempts. Now, when doing all that math and dividing it out, 961 total passing attempts and rushing attempts for the Ravens. The Ravens threw the ball on 42%, just about 42%, a little over that, 42% of their plays. And that is a number where, you know, the whole league is kind of going in one direction with throwing the football, being the air raid offense, and just slinging the ball 30, 40, 50 times a game. Where the Ravens, you're seeing, you know, 30, 40, not 40, but, you know, 30, 35 rushing attempts, sometimes 40. But the Ravens, they have gone in the direction that they think works for them, that they think their offense is the best at. That doesn't mean that they can't throw the football. I mean, they're a team that can do both. I think they can do both efficiently, but obviously the passing offense has struggled, you know, pass concepts, production from the pass offense. So will the Ravens throw the football more in 2021? For me, the answer is yes. And it's for a couple reasons. I think, yes, the Ravens should continue to stay a run-heavy team. You know, always have the rushing attempts outweigh the passing attempts, because with such a historic rushing offense, you don't want to move away from that unless it starts becoming non-historic. You know, if it starts struggling, then you can reevaluate. But you know the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, the Ravens offense as a whole, I mean, 2020 alone, the Ravens averaged 5.5 yards per carry as a team. And that's on 555 rushing attempts, which, you know, alone is impressive. You know, having that many rushing attempts and still averaging 5.5 yards per carry is actually really, really astounding, to be honest. So, well, looking at that, yeah, you want to run the football, but also, how can you make your run game more efficient? You can make it more efficient by throwing the football better and throwing the football a little more, switching things up, using the play action a bit more. Do the Ravens want to go back to RPOs? I think that's something they will do more in 2021. So there's another thing I think they'll do more in 2021. They might bring back some more RPOs, and it all just kind of goes hand in hand. And plus, I think with the weapons the Ravens brought in for Lamar Jackson, particularly Sammy Watkins and Rashad Bateman, plus, I think Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins have been working in their own right to become better as pass-catching options. You don't bring in those guys to run the football on 58% of plays, or just around 58% of plays, and throw the football on around 42. That's not what you do. I think we're going to see more of an even split, but we're going to see the rushing offense still be the focal point. So maybe 55-45, maybe 53-47. I'd be a little shocked if the throwing attempts outweighed the rushing attempts total for the Ravens. You know, it wouldn't be a thing that I'm not 100% expecting, but I do think I'd be a little bit shocked by that. So the Ravens, I think they have the ability this year to throw the football efficiently. And there's a difference between having a successful passing offense because it works and having a successful passing offense because you force it. And I think last year we saw the Ravens force the football a bit and throwing the football earlier in the year, and it kind of worked at first. But then, you know, the forcing kind of continued, and it seemed like Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson, to an extent, were forcing the football down the field, and instead of running the football in obvious situations, they were trying to throw for it. It almost seemed like to me, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it almost seemed to me like they were trying to prove to teams, hey, we can throw the football too. So I don't know what that was all about, but it seemed like they were forcing it, and then they got back to what they were best at, and that was running the football, and then their passing offense fed off of that, and it just seemed a lot smoother, and it worked a lot better. So now with the weapons in place, and now with the ability for Lamar Jackson to go out there and have those reliable targets to throw to a plethora of them, I think it'll be a good year for them in that regard. And honestly, I think the Ravens, you know, when looking at another thing is three tight end sets. Will the Ravens run three tight end sets more in 2021 as opposed to 2020? This is an absolute yes. Hike that number up because the Ravens have the options now. Obviously, with the trade of Hayden Hurst, it made things difficult because the Ravens didn't really go and do anything to replace him. You know, they kept saying, yeah, we're going to use Patrick Ricard in line, and that's what we're going to do, and then they never really did it. And it became more of the Nick Boyle, Mark Andrews show, but there wasn't really a third guy in line with them. And then Nick Boyle goes down, and it ended up becoming mostly two tight end sets, some three tight end sets with, you know, Luke Wilson and Eric Tomlinson, but then Luke Wilson gets cut, so it's Mark Andrews and Eric Tomlinson by the end of the year. So now with guys like Josh Oliver, who I think, you know, early on has the lead at the third tight end position, but they also have guys on the roster right now like Eli Wolf and Jacob Breland and Tony Pollion and Tomlinson himself, which I think every one of those guys can at least compete for a roster spot. I don't see the Ravens keeping four tight ends. I think really this is a situation of five guys competing for one roster spot, which, you know, at the end of the day is pretty daunting for some of these rookies and younger guys. But look, if they perform in training camp, if they perform in the preseason, they can have the opportunity to play among two of the best tight ends in the NFL and what they do in Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle, which, you know, is a great learning opportunity, let alone, you know, you can flash your stuff there as well. I think Oliver fits the profile, though, is you know, kind of that Hayden Hurst guy who is the athletic tight end. He can block. He also was able to get out into space really well, winning contested catch situations. Kind of the in-between mold of Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle, which Hurst did a really, really good job of doing. So I do think that the Ravens have a lot of keys to success in 2021. And part of that just involves doing stuff a bit more, but also more efficient. The Ravens have to be able to look at what they're doing on offense, and they did a good job towards the back half of their schedule of doing this, but towards the beginning and during the rough stretch they had in the middle of the season, it was kind of evident that, you know, maybe they were trying to do stuff their way, and they should, you know, they should believe in what they're doing, but the adjustments have to come, and they came later in the year, and then we saw the Ravens rattle off five straight wins. Their offense really started clicking, and that was that, and that was good. But I do think throwing the football will be to the Ravens' advantage. Doing that more will be to the Ravens' advantage in 2021 because of the weapons that they brought in here. And in terms of three tight end sets, it all just comes back to your run offense feeds off your pass offense, and your pass offense feeds off your run offense. If you bring in those three tight ends, it really hurts a defense in terms of who they're bringing in on the field, because they have to respect the three tight ends out there. They can't bring in a bunch of corners and a bunch of safeties and whatnot. They could, but then the Ravens can burn them by running the football with the heavier personnel in, and the guys just get washed out of the field. They get washed out of the play. The second level opens up. So the defense has to bring in heavier personnel. And then with those three tight ends, with guys like Andrews and let's say it is Oliver and Boyle as well, they can run routes and they can get open, which is good for the passing offense. So it's just a pick your poison thing for the defense in every aspect, whether it's running, whether it's passing, what run concepts, what pass concepts. The Ravens offense can do so many different things. I think they will do certain things more in 2021, and in turn they will do other things less, like running the football, you know, just a tiny bit less. You know, I don't think it's going to take away from, you know, huge chunks of Dobbins and huge chunks of Edwards, because you want those guys involved a lot, but also there are other ways to get them involved, such as the passing game. So instead of, for example, J.K. Dobbins having 134 attempts and then having 18 receptions, maybe it's 124 attempts and 28 receptions. So it's things like that that can get guys involved, but make them more dangerous because they're working and producing in other ways. So this Ravens offense is set up for success, and I'm really interested and curious to see how they're going to do things in 2021. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we return, we're going to be flipping the field and doing the same thing for the defensive side of the ball, so stay tuned for that, and we will be back soon. Available this week only, July 6th through 9th, get the new Built Bar Flavor Grasshopper Cookie. What does it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint cookie, all the flavor without all that sugar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. Did you know the Built Bar also has so many other delicious flavors, including coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and German chocolate? Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. Order today and get that grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. And we return here with our final segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Oshaker still here with you. And now we're going to talk about the defense and whether they will do things more or less than they did in 2020 here during the 2021 season. And I think a big part of the Ravens' defense is definitely blitzing and how they're able to disguise certain looks, and they'll send all these different people and they'll have all these exotic blitzes courtesy of defensive coordinator Don Martindale, who does a phenomenal job with it all. But one of the big questions I think is, will the Ravens blitz more in 2021 than they did in 2020? And look, the Ravens are one of the best blitzing teams in the NFL. They do it a lot. They're in the top 5. Usually they have been for the past couple of seasons when it comes to blitz percentage. And there have been a couple of reasons I think as to why that is. One, it's because they're good at it. And because it really does confuse especially younger quarterbacks, rookie, second year, third year guys. Those types of quarterbacks tend to struggle against Baltimore quite a bit. And, you know, not always, but it seems to be a theme that is the case. But another reason is because the Ravens over the past couple of seasons have struggled at times to get pressure with just 4 guys, or with even 5 guys, if you want to put 5 guys in there as well. It's been difficult for them to generate pressure without blitzing, and so the Ravens have to blitz in order to generate the pressure, send different guys off the edge, send corners, send safeties, send multiple inside linebackers, and it works to an extent. But then when it doesn't work and you're bringing 6 guys, or you're bringing 7 guys, that leaves guys in one-on-one situations, and that hurts when you don't have the safety help over the top because they're in a one-on-one matchup with a running back, or they're doing this, or they're doing that. So will the Ravens blitz more in 2021? Honestly, to me, this is situational, but to me, I'm going to say yes and no. And people are probably thinking, wow, that's a cop-out, but hear me out. So at the beginning of this season, I think the answer is going to be yes. I think the Ravens will send a ton of pressure early. And part of that is because I think the Ravens are trying to figure out what they have on defense, especially with their new outside linebacker group that does not have Matthew Judon or Yannick Ngakoue or Jihad Ward on it anymore. So what they're probably going to do is they're going to be some plays where they don't send anybody, and that's just natural throughout the course of an NFL game, right? You don't blitz on every single play, but I do think that they're going to want to help those guys get into situations that they can build their confidence up with. They can get some potential free rushers on the quarterback. But then as the season goes on and the Ravens either see the production out of their edge group or they don't see the production out of their end group, then they can adjust their defense accordingly, because look, any team doesn't go into the season with the same strategy they have ending that season. Things always change, things always adjust. So if the Ravens can send some help, or at least more help than they would have or would like to, in the first 1 or 2 weeks of the season, then it could be different. But here's the situation. The Ravens go up against the Kansas City Chiefs in week 2. The Ravens cannot blitz Kansas City and win the football game if you're going back to the last 3 games that they've played against them. The Ravens are 0-3. Kansas City is a blitz beater team. So what the Ravens will probably do, or at least what I anticipate them doing right now, and things can change here, but in week 1, I think we're going to see a lot of blitzing. In week 2, I think we're not going to see it. I think we're not going to see a lot of blitzing. And then those two games side by side together, those, you know, the one blitzing game and the one non-blitzing game, obviously against two different opponents, Kansas City is a much better team than the Las Vegas Raiders. But I think that will give the Ravens kind of a glimpse into their situation, and then they can adjust based off of that, because I don't think the Ravens are going to give up on the whole blitzing thing. I think they still will be a top 5 blitzing team in the NFL. But if things aren't going well for the edge group, and Justin Houston is signed, and Melvin Ingram is signed, and they can't bring anybody of value during the trade deadline, the Ravens are going to have to help out their young edge guys grow, and part of that is blitzing to get them in one-on-one situations or get them in favorable situations for themselves. So I think that's really important. And then another thing is, will the Ravens run more 3 safety looks than they did during the 2020 season? And for me, I think this answer is going to be yes, but slightly. And this answer would have been a lot easier if the Ravens had signed a true free safety, but they didn't do it. And instead, they're trusting Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark, which is fine. But we saw the three safety-ish looks where it was Jordan Richards in the defensive backfield, and they would play him super deep, or it would be Marcus Gilchrist at times. We didn't really see a ton of that because the Ravens just didn't have the depth to do it all the time. But they don't really have the depth to do it now either, because the guys on the roster who I anticipate making the roster behind Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark, that's Anthony Levine, it's Ardarius Washington, and it is Brandon Stevens, who I'm classifying as a safety. So those are 2 unproven rookies and 1 veteran who is more of a dime linebacker at this point. Now, you can put Anthony Levine at the dime linebacker position if you want. You can play Chuck Clark at strong safety and Deshaun Elliott at free safety. But I would think the Ravens might run Chris Board as a third safety more. And we kind of saw them do that to an extent, where they would either put Chris Board down in that dime linebacker role, and it actually worked. I think Chris Board is going to have an increased role. So while Chris Board isn't mentioned as a safety on the roster, he is an inside linebacker, I think that will be his role, where he can actually go, and Board is a former safety, so he can go and he can do those things that a safety is asked to do. He can cover, he can also play the run very well. So I think that Board is going to have a very good year for the Ravens, and a very important year for him, because he's going to be asked, I think, to do a lot this season. So that's where I'm saying just a bit more, because they don't have that true free safety where they can kick Deshaun Elliott over to strong safety and move Chuck Clark inside to the dime linebacker role. That's more what I was anticipating when the 2021 offseason began. But now that I see the roster, now that the safety position is relatively the same as what it was in 2020 outside of a few new young guys, I think that the Ravens are going to be relying on Chris Board as potentially that third safety-ish option, who isn't really a safety but can play safety. So that's my stance there. The Ravens defense, they're going to be okay though. They have the playmakers, their secondary is still elite, and they have, I think, the potential in the wiggle room to see what they have at the edge position, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, they can make the adjustments. The interior defensive line has the big monster unit on there as well, and the depth as well with Justin Madubuike, who I think is going to have a good year. So, while I do think the Ravens are kind of in wait-and-see mode for a couple of strategies they could use during the 2021 season, it will still probably be a lot of blitzing from this Ravens team, and we might see those three safety looks just a bit more than we did in 2020 with Chris Board playing that role instead of a true safety type player. That's all that I have for you today, but when we get back here tomorrow, we're going to be rounding out the week with my 500th episode of Locked On Ravens, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.